Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. Today we've got a really exciting show talking about human trafficking. Actually, it's really fascinating, and the intricacies and what's involved in this is just mind-blowing. Today, I think you'll just be stunned and amazed hearing about this. You are listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. These shows are broadcast Thursdays at 12:30 and Tuesdays at 6:30. And you could listen to the archives on KRUUFM.com, or you could look them up on our YouTube channel, Arden Counseling Center's YouTube channel, which has videos we're doing of these. And then you could also see videos and audios on the Arden Center website. Again, we're not promoting. We're just saying if you're looking for these shows, past ones, we are now over 80 shows, so lots and lots of shows. So I'm Dr. Scott Terry, mental health practitioner, run the Arden Counseling Center, supervise and train lots of people, yada, yada. That's my background. Do you like the yada, yada? And today with me is my co-host, Danielle, who's been awesome. Danielle, say hi.
Hello, I'm very excited to be here today. My name is Danielle McWilliams. I'm a graduate intern with Scott, and this is just such a definitely a fascinating topic, and I'm just... We have also Michael here with us, who is going to provide a lot of information.
So, Michael, talk away. Tell us who you are. We're broadcasting this in Fairfield, Iowa, but this is really a show that goes all around the world. And so I think this is a really good point of what we could do. So, Michael, tell us about who you are and what you're here to about.
Well, thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me on to discuss this issue that touches all our lives in so many ways. My name is Michael Husky, and I'm also a veteran of Fairfield. Lived there on and off since I was a little kid, so my heart's still back there with a lot of friends and family, and miss everybody very much. Hi, for anybody who's listening, and really appreciate being a part of this solution to a huge problem we're facing. You and I had talked a little bit about some of those solutions and some of the challenges, but through Children Helping Children, an organization that I started last year over in Southeast Asia, we're starting to see some headway with how to solve that.
That's fantastic. Before we even start, Michael, can you tell us what your organization is? And so if somebody wants to follow along as they're hearing this, how can they check this out?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go online to childrenhelpingchildren.org and see the infancy of this organization growing. And there's videos, some of the work that we've been doing. I'm working on a documentary, so there's segments of that available there. And you can also go on to, if you search on YouTube, Michael Husky, Children Helping Children, you'll see an archive of more videos there that are also being utilized for the documentary and greater awareness.
Fantastic.
And, the challenge of human trafficking.
Okay, great. So let's start with our first topic so people know what we're actually talking about. So how do you want to start this?
Well, I think first is to identify what human trafficking is. There is some confusion around that, and you'll find
absolutely.
When you read about it, there are a couple of schools of thought. One school of thought likes to break human trafficking away from actual smuggling of people, and the difference is in this original sort of iteration of definition, it was discussed that if you signed up to be smuggled to America, for example, from another country, and you turned into a slave, well, that shouldn't be counted as human trafficking, but it actually is. So this school of thought is changing to understand that it's anyone who's either conned into a greater opportunity but becomes a slave or straight up abducted. And that number, it will probably alarm a lot of people as far as how many there are on the planet right now, but actual slaves, I mean, the low-end numbers are 25 to 40 million, on the planet.
And you said million?
That low number into perspective, that is, you know, a rough estimate of how many people have been living in Colorado over the past 30 or 40 years. I'm not Colorado, in California. Sorry, I'm in Boulder today. I've got Colorado on my mind. But in, you know, if you think in terms of California, that's the fifth largest GNP in the world. If it were a country, it'd be the fifth largest exporter of products in the world. So it's also a big hub for human trafficking. So that's the first thing. I think we've got to identify what it is and let people know the severity of the problem that we're facing. There are more slaves on the planet now, even at the low estimate of those numbers, than any time in history. Not the per capita number, not just because we have more people on the planet, but there are more slaves relative to how many people there are on the planet at this point in time. Now, the high estimates, the highest I've seen, you'll see in one of my videos, was quoted by NBC News, over 100, as many as 200 million people in actual slavery. So where those true numbers lie, we don't know exactly. We know it's the fastest growing industry in the world, and that the downward push on the middle class and collapsing the economy, which has been done recently, is key in these criminals continuing their behavior.
So, Michael, let me just play naive on this and say, are we always talking sex trafficking? Are we talking, like, why would somebody be, let's say, let me be really crude, silly enough, stupid enough to get conned into going somewhere? Is that what we're talking about?
That's a really good question. I mean, right here in America, I interviewed a woman who is a fashion model. She is a professional model who gets paid well for the work she does. And she was called to an interview for a job with somebody who was propped up into a position that looked respectable, but they came close to ensnaring her in a Russian human trafficking ring in Florida with some very intricate lighting inside of a warehouse that disoriented her. And from there, she was trying to find her way further into the building, and luckily found her way further out of the building. And it became pretty clear as she read up more on what was going on in Florida as well that this is a problem that everybody needs to be aware of. So you don't have to be, one of the lesser intelligent people in society to become conned into an opportunity. But they do prey on women, children. Primarily, those are they make up probably about 70% of the slaves in the world. Another way you can become a slave is in Africa, where children are abducted and brought to the Ivory Coast to make your chocolate bars or to process the cocoa so that Nestle, Hershey, and Mars can make your chocolate bars for you. And most people don't realize when they eat that chocolate, they're being slave trade.
So, Michael, say that again, because I kind of lost you a little bit there.
So, essentially, what we're talking about is being aware of your relationship to human trafficking as a problem. Yes, how could someone be conned, the question you asked? You know, how could be someone be fooled into becoming a slave? Well, let's say there's a couple of points I want to bring up. If you're in a what we call third world country, or maybe an emerging economy, as they call some of these countries that aren't doing as well financially as places like America, it's not hard if you're making, you know, the equivalent of $2 or $3 a day, for someone to come along and con you into making $5 to $10 a day, and then tell you they're going to teach you English and you're going to be working in the hotel industry, and the next thing you know, you find yourself on a boat to Hawaii, and you're working as a quote unquote massage therapist that works in capacities that are illegal in any state. Except for one that we know of in the United States at this point. So those extra services provided that are classically illegal in our country, those people are being exploited to perform those, and they don't make the majority of the money, obviously, because they're the slave. And the people who bring them in on the boats, and the people who look the other way at the port in Hawaii, in Honolulu, the hub of human trafficking, even the government looks the other way. They don't have any real anti-human trafficking laws in Hawaii. That's the kind of stuff we need to not just implement, but we need to enforce. None of the cargo containers in the United States are being surveilled the way they could be with the technology we have to find these slaves as they're coming in. There are good reasons that is the case for people who want to profit from that industry. There are no good reasons for anybody who wants to actually free people from slavery. And so we need to see our own intricate relationship with that by virtue of the products we buy, like Nestle, Mars, Hershey's. You know, look into where your fish comes from if you can. Those are really important things. Look where your agriculture is coming from, and make sure that you're not buying things that are supported by human trafficking.
How would I know?
Someone else in America was, to answer your question, here in America, we had a case in point where I did an interview with a woman who will be in the documentary we're creating, who's a fashion model. And she was conned into coming to an off-site location that she would normally go to in order to be interviewed by a supposed employer for her services in fashion photography.
Right. You told us about her before, but mm-hmm. what I'm fascinated to hear about is the scope of the problem, but also that it's happening in the U.S. because you think of somebody maybe from a third world country, but you don't think of this is happening here.
And I think, like, even for me, I'm somebody that this, you know, that it's going on, but it's, you don't realize that it's happening in your own backyard. I mean, you think of third world countries, you know, they're being conned because they're being promised better lives, better, you know, whatever it is. But you don't think about it in terms of, you know, it happens here in Iowa, it happens in Florida, it happens in Hawaii, it happens.
Well, think about this. The average price for a slave is about $90, okay? And that's a worldwide average. But like any commodity, can you imagine what happens to the little girl from America with blonde hair and blue eyes on the back of the milk carton container that we never found? That price goes up substantially in places where you don't find as many blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls. This is the severity the media does not want to get into of what's going on and who's a part of this going on.
I mean, the mental health issues obviously are staggering, not just for the abductees, but for the families, and even for the traffickers. Like, what kind of mindset, disturbed mindset, must you have to be part of that whole system? And you're saying, you know, when I was in Florida, I was visiting my mother in the West Palm Beach area, and they were saying that in Florida there was a huge amount of trafficking. And part of the problem that was happening there is that it wasn't just these international travelers, somebody getting abducted in Bulgaria or wherever and getting shipped over, but that there were kids being picked on at the mall kind of thing.
Yes. They recruit out of malls. There's a mall in our shopping center, I guess it's actually called, because it's not a typical mall. I think it's an outdoor one to some degree, in Carlsbad, California. Now, I don't know if you've been there, but Carlsbad, California is not known for bad things necessarily happening. It's kind of a white, upper-class, you know, North County, you know, rich hub, and it's going on right there. It's going on all over the country, and people aren't aware of it because the media is not all over this in the way that it could be as far as creating greater awareness and helping us actually come up with solutions to it. They do talk about the problem, but it's often talked about as a foreign problem. And there are some news sources that I've come across out there that actually will get more into it. And if you go online and actually search human trafficking, you'll start to find some of these organizations that are doing great work about exposing it. But it's just not on the radar of most people at this point.
Yes, thanks. By the way, you're listening to Mental Health Matters, KRUU 100.1 in your FM dial. And today's show, a fascinating discussion of human trafficking with Michael, who's started an NGO to make a difference in this area. And it's saying we're commending you for great work doesn't even begin to come close to the accolades that you should be receiving for the work that you're trying to do in this area to bring attention and the staggering amount of people that are getting their lives destroyed is just amazing. I mean, for every one of those 20 to 40 million, maybe up to 100 million people that are trafficked, think about every person that that child or whomever had touched, you know, in throughout the course of their life. How many families, you know? So if they're come from a family of four people, each one of those people, and then each one of those people that they touch, and then what happens to their lives as they are trafficked? It's staggering to think about, and it's depressing, but it's also should be enlivening in the fact that we should think, what can we do to keep a watchful eye, to make a difference, to hold the media, to, you know, stop talking about the election, which is just insane, and to start talking about issues that matter, or to try and get our politicians to stop trying to get reelected and get money out of us and go, you know, hey, there's some real issues. Hold your feet to the fire and do something to protect people.
Well, and I think that too brings in then, Michael, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about kind of the cause of there's such a disconnect between, you know, what's going on with the human trafficking and why people are not as aware or don't understand that it's happening right here.
There's an enormous pool of supply, and I'm looking at it from a marketing standpoint and a business standpoint. To give you a taste of how they think about it, this is a business. That's it. It's a business. They are not counting the human cost, because how could they? Their commodities are human. And so what's going on is people have gotten used to buying a shirt for $4 when it's on sale at Walmart, thinking nothing of how they ever arrived at that price. People are, you know, becoming more accustomed to buying cheap food that has been altered in ways that's almost indigestible by the human system, and all that has been put into making that happen, all the way down to the slave that planted the seed or escaped his own suicide in India and somehow found a way to subsist as a farmer. I don't know if you know that story in India where...
No, tell us.
Well, see, here's the thing. When a third of the planet, bottom line, is below the poverty line, living on less than, you know, a dollar or two a day, there is an enormous supply. And those that are in charge of the insidious cartels all over the world, they have relationships in all their local governments and their national governments to some degree, and they go largely unchecked. You've probably heard about some of the rings in Congress and pedophilia and all these other stories. Well, believe me, these people have their hands in a lot of pies, and they're not just, you know, big in the oil industry or big in the, you know, pharmaceutical industry or biotech or whatever. They're big in the business of slavery, and they have been for a long, long time. So it's still a slave wage world, and it's still a slave state, only more now than ever before. We actually have more slaves, you know, as I mentioned earlier, than ever before. So that is growing. If that's growing and our middle class is shrinking, you can see who the next level of slaves will be. And so that's why it exists, because we continue to cannibalize each other. And we don't think about the fact that if we stopped eating Hershey's, Mars, and Nestle products and switched to local foods or even regional or even even, you know, anything we could research to know that it's actually fair trade and slaves aren't utilized and it's really organic and you really knew all that, then you'd be supporting the solution. The trouble is the legislators are so busy trying to keep us on the hamster wheel and spin these laws. I'll give an example. Just recently, you might have people who heard that Obama had passed a law that makes it illegal for companies to sell products that they had utilized slaves in the manufacturing of their goods and services. Well, you would think that means Nestle and Mars and Hershey's would be out of business, but they aren't. They're selling more chocolate now than they did that day. And the reason is they're buying from suppliers that use slave labor, so there's loopholes all over the place. So that legislation has no teeth in it. There's no enforcement about it. In fact, there's less than enforcement. The law, one of the laws he signed prior to that, was disallowing us to now know where our food even comes from. The country of origin labeling is no longer a requirement. So you don't know if a slave made your product. You don't really know if it's organic. If those, it says it's organic, but what if they did actually put the right label on the right product in another country? We can't even trace it back to the country it came from anymore.
So what do you suggest?
I wouldn't count on the government to solve the problem.
No.
It's a local issue every way around.
So again, Michael, what would you suggest? Let's get down to some ideas of what we can do in the last couple
First
minutes
of all,
here.
Get more aware about what the problem is and how it affects you, that your children, you know, are at risk. And so are other people you know in the community. So really talk it up. Let's not let this thing linger in the dark. Let's find out, you know, somebody's missing children, you know, and get involved in your local legislation, in your state and regional and national legislation to make sure you have strict laws that are enforced, that there is money in place to enforce, you know, and dig into your own communities to find out, you know, if there's some strange things going on. I mean, even in Fairfield, we had heard about pedophilia being an issue, all the way up into the ranks of government, in back in the 70s and 80s. And I don't remember any solutions coming out of it. I remember that sort of just being danced out the alley, and we never really talked about it again. So, I mean, really get real and get honest about what's going on in your own community, and be a tight community. But also get involved, you know, by either starting an NGO, supporting an NGO that does what you love it to do to solve this problem. What we do is we educate people, number one, that we have a problem that we're facing, how to solve it through many different ways. But one is we're creating a documentary about it, and we're working with children to help them live their dreams. Because we know a child who's living their dreams is not going to be distracted once they've also been educated on what to look for anybody recruiting them for slavery or even slave wage jobs. We don't want our kids working slave wage jobs either. So get them living their dreams, and don't tell them that they can't do what they came here to do. Those dreams they have in their hearts, they came in with those from a source much bigger than you and my little survivalist mind can conceive at any one time. So make sure you're helping your kids live their dreams, and if you want us to help your kids live their dreams, please let us know at childrenhelpingchildren.org, and also if you want to support the organization, you can do that as well.
That's great information. It sounds like just definitely a lot of education, being aware of what's going on, not denying what's going on, and getting involved in our local, you know, local legislative just to try to solve the problem.
How else can we notice if something's going on? Like I said, how would somebody know, a concerned citizen?
What could we do? Like, what should we be looking for?
Well, there's, you know, right down to suspicious job offers, malls and places like that where these children are being abducted to, you know, make sure that the children are close to their parents, you know, that they're not running off and, you know, and getting too far from the protection that, you know, especially, you know, the younger ones, obviously. But, you know, and being more involved in your kids' lives so that they're aware that there is something to be watchful of and that we're in this together to protect them. So, you know, where they go and make sure that you have a good relationship with your kids, that you're close with them. The kids that we have found often, you know, throughout the world, really, they were estranged in some way. They're in an orphanage, or they're, you know, they've come from a poor village where they were susceptible to the pitch of a human trafficker. So what we decided to do was beat the human traffickers to the punch. We go out into the village and we educate people that this is happening. And when they come into the environment of the village, they need to be investigated before you let your kid go run off to Malaysia or Bangkok or wherever the promise is of this better life they're supposing to be living in the future. You know, in other places, they go after, fishing. Jobs, for example, some fantastic fishing job with promises that may sound elaborate. They just recovered 200 slaves from the ocean that were out all over. They had been working all over Southeast Asia for the last 10 years, held captive as slaves. In Hawaii, there is not only the cargo container issue, but there's a port out on the west side of Hawaii in Waianae. There's a little inlet there where there's a couple of slave ships that come in, and they locally, there's a church that goes out and provides the gospel to the slaves and brings them food. And I asked, well, why don't you report them? And they said, they can't. We can't report them because if we do, they'll kill their families back in Thailand or wherever they're from. And they also risk in the some of the arrests that have been made, they risk being thrown in jail themselves, because the traffickers will turn them in as prostitutes and they'll go to jail, and they'll never go after the actual traffickers or any of the business associates that let them into the country or sustain them in the country.
Wow. Michael, we're in our last minute here, and we're certainly going to do another show on this. But I want to thank you personally for the work that you're doing. And I think it's really interesting to separate out all the different dimensions. But I think clearly what I hear you saying is education is prominent. Know what's going on. Put pressure on state and local governments to make a difference. But also be aware. Take care of your own children, teach them, because if you're having good parenting, you're also fortifying your children to think critically about what's going on and protecting them.
Yes, and get them engaged in what their dreams are, whatever it is that you see that their dream is. And one of the things we like to do, it's a vocational coaching offering for children, is to provide a coach for a child so that when the parent can't be there all the time in their corner, they have someone else to refer to. It also provides a third party, someone that they might even divulge more to than with their own parents, so that they can work together. It's how communities work. We've fallen out of community in this country.
Absolutely. So
and
it's
if we get back into it, it'll sure make a difference.
Absolutely. So thank you, Michael, and thank you for developing the notion of coming back to community, and that all of us, and I mean everyone, even if you don't have a child, be part of your community. Make a difference in your world so you can make a difference for yourself. And as you make a difference for you and be the person you need to be, then you'll make a difference in this world. So educate and make a difference today. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you,
Danielle.
Thank you.
And we'll do another show on this soon. Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.